Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
This man will make your bladder splatter.
You ain't nothing, okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah. Woo! Good evening, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and tonight, Yin's Love, Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 13, titled Tahajali. And joining me today, this puts us on the map. Media critic extraordinaire and creator of showbizcafe.com, Jack Rico.
Thank you so much, Jim. Great to be here. Fan of the podcast. And how can I not be? I imagine millions of people are listening to. So I think it's one of a kind, right?
There's a handful. And
yours is the best, Jim.
Maybe, but to be fair, if you look at our hits, this cycle, we've been averaging about 50 per episode.
Nice.
Well, Jack, in the world of podcasts, that's not good.
50 million. Come on.
No, it's just 50. So I want you to know that the 50 people that do listen take it very seriously.
Hard. It's hardcore, man.
It's a quality podcast, and if I can break it down for everyone, having Jack Rico be on a podcast that only has 40 or 50 hits is like having the Foo Fighters play your corner bar in the middle of Nebraska. It's like having Floyd Mayweather in your garage fight club. That's what it's like tonight. So I appreciate you doing this, Jack.
No, thanks for inviting me. We've been trying to do this since season 4, early season 4, over at the VH1 studios for the VH1 Morning Buzz, where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you right off the bat I was a big fan. I've been watching the Top 20 Countdown for forever.
And thank you.
And so when you said to me, dude, what's your favorite TV show? I said, come on, man. Breaking Bad. You're like, yes! You started jumping up and down. I was like, I think we agree on our TV show tastes. And you said,
yeah, the thing is, Jack, you got to come on the podcast. The thing is, you do this professionally. You watch movies, you watch TV shows. The last time I saw you, you were on the Today Show. So do this often, but there are a few shows that I watch religiously. So fortunately, we can do this with Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and I'm excited, my man. I'm excited to talk about this particular episode.
And I want to point out that at the beginning of the cycle, you were one of the first guys I was emailing, and you said, well, I can't do it this week because I'm going out of the country, and I can't do it the following week because I'll still be out of the country. So did you purposely plan your vacation so you could be the guest on this particular episode?
It wasn't deliberately, I have to confess, but isn't it serendipity?
Oh, my gosh.
That on this episode, and Jim, I think even you have to agree, it is not only the best episode of the season,
mm-hmm.
It could probably be the greatest Breaking Bad episode of all time.
It's,
now, Jim, I need to hear this from you. Well, where do you rank this episode compared to all 5.2 seasons?
Well, I was in the bathroom today. See, I do my thinking in the bathroom like Hank. And I thought to myself, this is definitely a classic. And then I was on the same line of thinking as you. And I thought, this could be one of the best ever. It's definitely a classic. And then I thought to myself, how do you make a classic this deep into the series?
I know. You know, now that you say that, you know what it is? I think is that, all right, and I'm just going to go on a limb here, but here's the answer to that question.
Okay.
All 5 seasons have led to this episode.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how it's a classic deep into this season. And I know that it's not the end of the episode. I mean, linearly, everything leads to the last episode of the last show, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this one feels like it's the one that breaks everything. It sets it up. It sort of formalizes everything we've come to know of the show, the characters. You know, next episode someone's dead, and
well,
we're
yeah.
going to put down that scene because we have to break it down because there's a couple of question marks that I saw throughout that whole thing. I resaw it two or three times, that final scene.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things I liked about that scene, and there's a lot of things that I think they... I got to talk to Vince Gilligan at some point, you know, and find out what...
I mean, you could probably make that happen, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, you're on your way up. Like I said, last time I saw you, you were on the Today Show. Why can't you talk to Vince Gilligan?
I'll put in a couple of calls, but
okay.
I have to do your show first.
Right. This will be your resume. It'll be your reel. You say, Vince, check this out. And he's like, okay, you know what you're talking about, Jack. So what we do on the Yin's Love recaps of Breaking Bad is that we will start from the beginning, go to the end. You chime in whenever you want. And then if you missed anything deep that you wanted to expound on, you can do that at the end.
All right, great.
So we open up with Todd doing a cook for Lydia with Uncle Jack. And I don't know what his buddy's name is, but you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Todd doesn't have the blue meth, although Lydia is wearing a very nice blue business blazer. I don't know if you caught that.
She is hot, man. She is hot.
Okay. I think she's kind of crazy. Not as crazy
as
Todd.
She is kind of crazy, but there's a sexy crazy to her.
Okay. I think she's loony, so... You think she's hot? I wouldn't say that. But we go on. She says, listen, blue is the brand. And then Uncle Jack looks down at the meth and he says, well, I could kind of see blue. And we should also point out that Uncle Jack was not wearing a gas mask. That's dangerous stuff, buddy. Because
right.
Mr. White said, you know, there's fumes in the air. You got to wear a gas mask. He just wanted to go out and grab a smoke. So we see Todd hitting on Lydia. Basically... The purity is up. I believe it's up to 76%. Not good mm-hmm. enough, though, for what the Czechs are used to.
But it is an improvement.
Is an improvement, and we hear "Oh Sherry" in the background. I believe.
What, by the by Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons?
No. Oh Sherry, I'm in love.
Right.
Yeah, Journey. Oh Sherry.
There you go. Okay.
And then,
okay. I'm thinking Sherry Four Seasons.
No,
okay.
And then "Blinded Me with Science" is Todd's ringtone. Maybe an ode to Walter White.
Ah.
Okay. So then we have Hank and Gomi. A lot of people were upset with Hank last week because he's like, oh, he's just a meth head. And he's just, you know what? If he meets with Hank and or if he meets with Walt and he ends up getting killed, so what? We have it on tape. And everyone's like, ooh, Hank's kind of a bad guy. And Gomi came off as the good guy. But in this episode, it seems like Hank has kind of fallen in love with Jesse like we expected, and Gomi actually calls Jesse Timmy Dipshit.
No, but you got to remember, he also called him a genius. All right, genius, but of course, with with a layer of sarcasm that was just too much to handle.
So Jesse comes up with this big plan. Hank and Gomi are on board. Hank goes over to see Huel. He works the Hank Schrader magic. He shows the picture of Jesse with the, I guess it's like a lamb's brain on his kitchen floor. He's like, oh, no, man, I didn't know he was going to do that. I didn't know he was going to do that. I put the barrels of money in the van. I rented it at this place. Hank has enough information, works his magic on Huel, and he's gone. So then we have Walt and Uncle Jack and Todd and his buddy. And he says, listen, I need Jesse out of the picture. But Jesse... is family, so please, no fear, no suffering. And then Uncle Jack's a little confused. He's like, well, is he Hulk mad? Is he like Rambo or James Bond? And then you see Todd shaking his head like, no, he's nothing. He's just a skinny little kid. So Walt says, well, let's discuss the price. And then Uncle Jack says, no. He's like, we don't want money. We want you to cook for us.
Yeah, that's the game changer in the episode, because we haven't seen Walt cook in how many episodes, Jim?
I know. Well, when
was the last time we saw Walt in the yellow costume, the yellow...
the hazmat suit. I would call it a
hazmat suit.
It was season 5, episode 8. According to the chronology, I think he was out for 3 months at that point. At the beginning of this season, another month has passed. Maybe another month has passed. So maybe 4 or 5 months.
Since 4 or 5 months, we haven't seen him. So and then he says, "All right, one cook."
One.
He
cook.
Actually promised him that with a handshake.
With a handshake.
Quickly, if you notice subtly, you know, Bryan Cranston is one of the best television actors we have.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at him work, you have to look at the subtleties of his craft. He knows exactly what he's doing in front of the camera. If you notice the handshake, a lot, he quickly removed it from him.
Oh.
Did you notice that?
I didn't catch that.
He cocked it back, like almost. He shook his hand, but it explains by him sort of cocking the hand back.
Mm-hmm.
It almost felt like he was disgusted by the handshake because of his morality.
Yeah.
And two, he agreed, but it was almost like, I'm keeping my fingers crossed all at the same time that I'm not going to keep the promise.
Now, do you think...
That's what that felt like.
See, now, in the back of my head, I thought, you know, Walt, he's going to do one cook, but Walt's very good at cooking, and maybe he misses the game. So maybe he wouldn't mind just doing one more cook.
He did answer rather quickly. It wasn't quickly, but rather quickly. He took, like, a pause, and then he went... All right, one cook.
Because he was kind of cocky about it, because he could have said, okay, two cooks, but he's like, you know what? I'm so good. One cook. And Todd, if you don't get it this time, too bad. So
right,
Todd gets one
right.
cook. Todd better, well, he probably wouldn't bring a video camera, because I doubt that Walt would agree to that, but he better bring his notebook.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, how many people have cooked with him before with notebooks?
Mm.
Like a certain gentleman that got shot in the head by Jesse Pinkman, and still couldn't get it right.
Yeah, and another thing is, I don't know what Lydia expects from Todd, because even Gail couldn't match Walt's recipe.
I know.
And Gail, I mean, he had degree after degree. I mean, he was a master chemist, but he wasn't
master.
So I don't know what kind of purity she wants from Todd.
I think she wants the Heisenberg quality, man.
I don't think she's going to get it. So Uncle Jack says, "We're okay, maybe a bullet in the back of the head. Where can we find him?" Walt says, "I don't know where we can find him, but I can flush him out." And where does the devil go? The devil goes over to Brock's house.
That's right.
Brock and Andrea.
We're not talking about Brock Lesnar, all right?
We're talking about a little kid that he poisoned.
With ricin.
With Lily of the Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't ricin. It was Lily of the Valley. And later in the episode, he says, "I knew exactly how much to give him." Now, we never saw that episode, but every time Brock has seen Walt since, he's given him the stink face.
Yeah, that's right. Like, he knows that he did it or something.
Did Walt, was he in the cafeteria, and was he wearing a wig and a hairnet or something, and was he spooning out Sloppy Joe and said, "Oh, here, kid, just eat. Make sure you eat this bite right here." We don't know. It wasn't shown. So Walt works his lying magic once more. He makes Andrea call Jesse, but as it turns out, Hank is in control of the Hello Kitty phone, and he said, "Nice try." And I think he might have said that to
Walt. He just kind of said that out loud.
Right.
Because he heard it through a voice recording.
Heard it through the message.
Right.
Then we have Saul at the car wash. The moment I laughed the most this episode.
One of my favorite characters in the whole show.
So smooth.
And him along with Tuco go down as one of my favorite characters of the show.
Because someone.
Remember Tuco?
Oh, absolutely. But someone asked me today, who do you think the best actor is in Breaking Bad? And I said, I don't know if I can answer that question, but someone who always delivers and who plays their character the best, it might be Saul.
It might be Saul. You know, he's excellent, man. And he's the comic relief of the show. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is the liaison. He's the link to everything that happens in the show. His character, I would say, is as important as almost as Walter White. You know?
I mean, he makes it come together.
He's the one that makes everything gel together. And so, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would put him up there as a 9, 9.5, right after Walter White, mm-hmm. in terms of importance of characters in the show.
Because speaking of importance, Saul connected Walt and Gus together, and Saul also connected Todd with Walt. And then Todd, of course, brought along his uncle. So no one meets anyone unless it's for Saul. Better Call Saul. And I love that Walt Jr. is behind the counter, and he just has this look of awe. He's like, you're the guy on TV. You're the lawyer. And he's like, yeah, Better Call Saul. And then he said, well, what happened to your face? And what did he say? It's an occupational hazard, kid.
And coincidentally, if you noticed, the shot, the wide shot,
mm-hmm.
of Saul talking to Walter White.
Yep.
There's a huge billboard in the background in yellow of Saul's face.
Now, if we can rewind for a second, my line of the episode is, don't drink and drive, but if you do, call me. And then Saul leaves.
Of course.
And my wife caught this. I didn't catch it. Walt walks in with Holly, his little baby Holly. You only see her for a second. He dumps her off. And then Walt and Saul have their talk. He's like, are you wearing a bulletproof vest? He comes back into the car wash, and he has a loving glance at Skyler and Walt Jr., and then he gets the phone call from Jesse, and sitting next to my wife, she says, that's the last time he's going to see his family.
Ooh, and what made her think that?
It was the loving glance. He looked at Skyler and Walt Jr. He walked in with Holly moments before, and she said, that's it. That's the last time he sees his family. And I thought to myself, you might be right. And 2 seconds later, Jesse calls, and well, Jesse actually, he texts him a picture of a barrel full of money underground, and then he calls him. And then Jesse basically says, I know where your 7 barrels of money are. I'm going to burn $10,000 each minute until you come out here. Walt's speeding down the highway. He's like, listen, it's not for me. I'm dying of cancer. It's for my family. And he then confesses everything. I killed Crazy Eight. I killed the drug bangers to save you, to save us. And once he gets the confession, he hears Jesse no more. And now Walt is out in the desert alone. He knows that he's been had. So he rips the battery out of his cell phone so they can't trace him anymore. And then, you know, sits behind a rock. And then, I love this shot. You just see some dust blow up from behind one of those rocks. And he's like, oh no, there's a car here. So he runs down. He gets his phone. He thinks it's Jesse in some backup. He does not know Jesse is working with Hank and Gomi because, like before, earlier in the episode, he said Jesse is not a rat. So he calls up Uncle Jack. He says, Jesse's here. He has backup. I need you to get him now. And he gives Uncle Jack the coordinates. And I love the fact that Uncle Jack scribbles them on his hand.
Yeah, you know what that means. That he's going to wash his hands, and then he's going to miss like a digit.
Right.
You know what's going to happen. He's going to sweat, you know, at some point. 3 numbers are going to fall off, which is going to scribble off, erase off. He's going to be like, damn it!
Because when he was writing the numbers on his hand, I thought to myself, the meth game has just gone downhill in Albuquerque. You had Gus Fring, who was so precise about everything, and now you have Uncle Jack, who's writing coordinates on his hands with a ballpoint pen. Very sloppily, I might add.
I know.
So then Walt is shocked. He's surprised. He's like, oh no, Jesse is with Hank and Gomi. So while Uncle Jack is on the line, he's like, it's called off. Just don't come.
And this is the part, And right before you continue, this is the part that Jim, I'm having trouble with. This is the part that I've had a struggle with for all five seasons with Breaking Bad, is this relationship between Walt and Jesse.
Okay.
I'm just going to be blunt with this.
Be blunt.
And whether people like it or they don't, I know it's going to be divisive.
Well, now, Jack, keep in mind, you are running a website.
That is true. I mean, I can always talk
like
about it on my website.
ShowbizCafe.com, screw you!
You know, I'm sick of the loyalty of Walt towards Jesse. Because there's moments that I feel that if you put his wife, his two kids, and you said it's either Jesse Pinkman or your family, there's moments where I really feel that he would pick Jesse, you know, because the loyalty is that deep. And I go, why? And I don't think the show's ever been fully able to answer why this guy's so in love with Jesse after so much crap that Jesse has done to piss him off. It's like,
wouldn't you say it's the other way around, though? Because Walt has done a lot of stuff to piss Jesse off. And like he said episodes ago, ever since you've come into my life, it's been horrible. Nothing good has happened.
Right. But I don't think, how many times has Jesse hesitated on destroying this guy? I mean, he was going to put his house on fire if it wasn't for Hank coming in last minute, right?
Well, that was after he found out that he tried to poison and almost killed a kid.
Right, but if the roles were reversed, Walt would not have done anything to Jesse. Or Jesse would have done something to Walt. So this is where I go, and I just look at the show, and I go, you know what, at some point, you gotta cave in. And I know he caved in by asking Uncle Jack to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he saw him, he kind of just said, don't do it anymore. And I'm like, you know what, that was like as if you never asked Uncle Jack to kill him. So I got major issues with that level of loyalty.
Well, he said don't do it because he didn't want Hank to be involved in this mess.
Yeah, but you know, at this point it was too late. And here's the way I think it all should have gone. I think they should have come anyway. I think he would have said, look, Hank is about to get me in jail. Who knows what he's going to do to my family? Jesse's already... he is such a wall right now, will not listen to any sort of reason. Let's just go through the whole thing. It's three people in the desert. I could always lie my way out of it like I've always done throughout all the casino. He's the master liar of all television shows. I don't see anybody get away with so many lies the way he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that should have been this whole show felt like the last final episode.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait, now what did you want? Did you want him to not call off Uncle Jack and his guys?
I did not want him to call it off. I think for him to be Heisenberg, he needed to not rescind from that. He needed not to be a coward about it. He, for the first time, he just should have like said, just do it, make it happen. And I would have had so much more respect for him at that moment because he would have finally accepted the title of the show. Fully.
Well, that's
back.
Yeah, but that's why we watch, because it's a constant battle between Heisenberg and Walter White.
The alter ego, right.
Another thing is that in earlier seasons, we found out that Walt lost billions of dollars in gray matter.
Oh,
so
that's right.
He went in business with two other people. He sold his share, and like he said, either last season or the season before, I'm out billions of dollars. So maybe he looks at Jesse and he thinks of himself as a member of a big enterprise. He's like, I know how it is to be on the other end.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know if I can convince you.
As a viewer, after all these seasons, that has a ceiling. It has a limit before it starts getting annoying and frustrating. And I thought that this time around, by him rescinding from not pulling in the full hit, you know, on Jesse, that's where I was like, come on, Walter. It's about time you just finally give in and get rid of him once and for all, you know, for what he's done to
but,
you.
Well, I think he called it off because he wanted to protect Hank, and he has protected Hank
before.
That was
the X factor. You're right. You're right. That was the X factor.
So he says family, and even calls Jesse family in this episode.
Right.
But and maybe, too, you know, Walt is a teacher at heart. So maybe it's hard for him to kill one of his students.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I can convince you, but I buy it. So then we have the four of them in the desert. You've got Walt behind a rock, and then you've got Hank, Gomi, and Jesse. And like we said, Walt.
Beautiful cinematography.
Oh, yes.
Used in that final, the final scenes of the show.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, before we go there, I have a little problem with a Jesse and Walt scene. And I don't know if you had a problem with it. A technical problem. When he was driving his car and Jesse was on the cell phone, I didn't buy that they were really talking on the phone. To me, it sounded like Walt was talking on... Yeah, it sounded like he was in a VO booth or something.
You are right. Like, there's usually this hollowness to the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't here. It sounded like it was on 5.1 surround sound, you know? you are right. There is that technical aspect of you're on a cell phone. You're not even on a landline.
And
it can't sound that great.
He was on a cell phone in probably a speeding car.
Right, with
Jesse,
one hand.
Yeah, Jesse was. Because Jesse and Hank and Gomi were making their way to the desert as Walt was making his way out to the desert.
That's right. That's right. And what kind of car was he driving?
Walt has his souped up muscle car, and then Hank, Gomi, and Jesse were in the SUV. Yeah.
SUV, right.
So, and I understand why they couldn't show Jesse on the phone, because as viewers, we had to be, you know, was Jesse calling from a police station? Was he calling at Hank's house? Was he calling on the road? Was he calling behind a tree? So I understand why they didn't show Jesse on the phone, but I just didn't like the audio of the phone call.
See, but here's what they could have done. They could have done what they did recently in the movie Getaway with Ethan Hawke and John Voight. You know, who was the caller on the phone throughout the whole movie?
Mm-hmm.
Just lips.
Oh, okay.
You could have just had the goatee, right? The mm-hmm. the little stubble of Jesse Pinkman talking on the phone, which would have been like something different, because those selection of shots aren't used in Breaking Bad at all.
Yeah.
And so it would have been different to be kind of innovative maybe in this particular show, kind of show some special different scenes. But they opted to not even show Pinkman
talking
on the cell phone at all.
Yeah. And the thing is, if they did show his lips, I'm sure they'd be bouncing up and down since he was in a vehicle going at very high speeds.
Right. Okay. All right. I mean, that makes sense.
And then what else was I going to say about that? So I just didn't... It just kind of took me out of it for a second. But then when they're all in the desert, I'm right back in it.
And that's the beauty of Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
If they have anything that falters for like a second,
mm-hmm.
it overcomes it in the next scene immediately.
So then you think to yourself, is Walt going to run? Can he run? Can he hide under a rock or a cactus and hope that Hank and Gomi doesn't see him? And then Hank has his gun drawn and he's like, I got him. Walt comes out, and the pacing of this scene was so slow, but it just added to the suspense.
Oh, the suspense and the intensity of it all. I have to tell you, I was completely enraptured at that final sequence, because I said to myself, here's what I was experiencing mentally and emotionally on that moment. How is he going to get out of this? Was the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to outsmart them all? I'm expecting him to outsmart them, because that's what he always does. You know, the episode before, right when you least expect him to outsmart Hank, he does the tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, creative.
Mm-hmm.
What witty sort of move was he going to do that was going to baffle all of us in terms of creativity of getting out of this one? So when you saw him just not come up with anything, and just be so quiet about it, I said two things. One, he has something up his sleeve, right? Or two, he's really giving in. But what was the last time you saw Walter White really give in?
Wow. Because a lot of times with Gus, he'd be like, oh, you know, I messed up. You have option A or option B. But the thing about that scene is there were so many different levels, because Hank's like, okay, walk backwards. And you're like, okay, something's going to happen here. Get down on your knees. Okay, something's going to put your hands behind you. Okay, something's going to happen here. So each stage you're expecting something. And then when Hank finally slaps the handcuffs on him, you think to yourself,
which was the close up of the handcuffs just slapping the wrists.
There's no doubt that no doubt. And you think to yourself, wow, he caught Walter White.
Yeah.
Walter doesn't say anything. And there, then it's nothing,
which really, really caught me off guard. It almost like, am I watching Breaking Bad?
Well, to me, I thought to myself, Heisenberg is dead. We're back to Walter White now. This is who we had in season one. As it turns out, this was the place where Jesse and Walt shared their first cook. The title of the episode is called Tahajali. If you look at a lot of Walter White's mannerisms, he does a lot of the same stuff in the very first episode of Breaking Bad, where, you know, he gets down on his knees and then he sees it's just a fire truck driving past him. So a lot of similarities to the very first episode of Breaking Bad.
So there were some nostalgic moments that, you know, that we saw once again in retrospect. Okay.
And even Jesse says it too. He's like, this is where we had our very first cook out here, right? Right?
Yeah, it was the episode that brought everything full circle.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right about that. And then Gomi says, Hank says, should we flip for it? And Gomi's like, no, it's all you, man. Hank reads him his rights. And, throughout this whole sequence, Jesse first looks surprised because he thinks to himself, there's no way that they're going to catch Mr. White. And then they catch Mr. White. And then when they actually have him in handcuffs and they read him his rights, Jesse looks happily surprised. Like, I can't believe this is happening.
Well, no, but I think he reflected the emotions of all the viewers that were watching the show. I mean, what were you going through? Did you feel any emotional similarities of what Jesse was going through at all?
Well, I read an online critique today, and it said that as viewers, we wanted A, B, and C, and then when A, B, and C actually happened, we didn't want those. So last cycle, I wanted Walt to be caught, and then when Walt was actually caught, I thought to myself, no, man. I don't want him to be called. No. We're both professional wrestling fans. Hulk Hogan had his run in the 80s, I could not stand when he was the champion. But then when he lost the belt to the Ultimate Warrior, I missed Hulk Hogan as a champion. So I felt the same way last night.
I got to tell you, I'm one of the few, well, hopefully not the few, but I loved Hogan as a champion, and every time he wasn't the champion, I was extremely angry and would not watch the WWE. When he was beat by the Warrior, I mean, there were only two moments in wrestling history where I was utterly shocked. I had never seen Hogan lose the belt like that. I mean, you could talk about Andre the Giant, but that was kind of expected to me. But the Warrior?
With a three count.
You can't job so cleanly to the Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Clean. And then the other one was when he turned heel. I mean, I think it flipped the world on its heel. And when you kind of compare this, you make the parallels to Breaking Bad. This was the moment him accepting being caught, I think, was as perplexing for a couple of nanoseconds because of how many times he's managed to escape, like outdo everyone, outwit everyone.
So it was kind of sad to see him get caught, even though you hate him. And if you watch this episode back, Hank is having an enjoyable time throughout the entire episode.
Finally, because how many episodes have we seen him brooding, not crack a smile? One of the things that I really liked about Hank when he was first introduced to the show was he must have been one of the funniest guys in season one, season two. I was like, yo, this guy has such great comic timing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he says sounds like a great one-liner that you could save, you know, for weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we finally saw that charming, charismatic guy, the comic relief of the show. I mean, when Hank is on, he's better than Saul.
Yeah.
When he's on, he's better than Saul.
His little back and forth with Huell, he loved it.
Yeah.
He was feeling it. Pouring the brains on the kitchen. He's like, oh yeah, this is I miss this cat and mouse. You don't get this when you're sitting at a desk. Hank even had on his DEA satin jacket. Busted out the satin jacket for this episode.
Those little things. Yeah, man.
So then he reads him his rights. He puts him in the SUV, and he calls Marie. And then he's like, hey, I'm waving at Walter right now. Classic Hank Schrader. And then he has a touching moment with Marie. He says, I love you. And I'm like, oh, no. When TV...
And you know what that... When we all thought when he said that.
When TV characters say I love you to their wife, it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
Especially when they're out in the desert with guns and Uncle Jack and his posse are moments away.
But... at the same time, we do remember the same man getting shot by two Mexican cartel mafia and still surviving all of it.
Can lightning strike twice, though? So before we get to the end scene, you have Jesse spitting in the face of Walt. Walt kind of kicks at him.
Gives him like a headbutt, right. You know, a la the Junkyard Dog.
And then they split them up. They said, Gomi and Jesse, wait here. We're going to send out a search team. We're going to try to find the money. Hank calls Marie. And we'll get to this in a little bit. Hank calls Marie. He puts Walt into the SUV. And then Uncle Jack and his posse comes, and we have a showdown. Guns
right now,
drawn on both sides. They said, we're police. Uncle Jack and his crew, they said, we need to see badges. They don't see badges. They do look around. They see Jesse in one car. Walt in another, and then the firefight begins.
That's right, and then the show ends, and then we go to credits, and I detested that they were in previews for next season, for next week, which leads me to believe that the next episode isn't coming back for 2-3 weeks.
No, there was previews.
No, there wasn't. We had previews for Low Winter Sun.
I thought I saw a preview. Well, the thing is...
AMC, you did? Because it wasn't on TV.
I don't know, but the thing is, AMC, they don't always show previews like they used to. What they do is they love to whore out Breaking Bad to, you know, pump up their newer shows. So a lot of times, well, early in the season, they said, we'll show you a preview of Breaking Bad, what's going to happen next week during the first commercial break of Low Winter Sun. But I swore that I saw a preview for
right after
week.
The show ended, when the credits rolled, the first image after the credits rolled, you know, the that famous voice. I, what's the name of the guy who does the Breaking Bad?
I don't know
what his name is. We got to find out. Somebody, whoever's listening to the podcast right now, email Jim. Let us know what the name of this guy is. I'd love to say his name. You know, I'd love to know his name. So he says. And in the next episode of Low Winter Sun, they're like, wait, whoa!
Yeah.
You can't do this to us! You need to say, in the next episode of Breaking Bad...
Well, what I think happened was, is they went into the Low Winter Sun preview, there was a commercial, and then it might have shown the Breaking Bad preview for next week.
Ah, okay. Well, I didn't see it, unfortunately,
At this point in time, the last few weeks, the preview for the next week, they barely show anything.
Yeah.
And you figure they can't show that much because they might give something away.
I guess so, but they did the same thing in Mad Men, and they always at least gave us such a super condensed teaser preview, which lasted like 15 seconds as opposed to the regular 30.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought they were at least going to do that, but or at least tell us for more or for a preview, go to AMC.com. But they didn't even do that.
Well, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure there is a preview for next week. So if you go to the Breaking Bad website, they usually have the making of the episode and the preview for the next week's show.
So that is definitely what I'm going to do. So yes. Now let's deconstruct this last sequence, which
okay. So let's,
goes down in lore history and television history.
And let's give ourselves 5 or 10 more minutes and then call it an episode. Okay. So let's make this tight. So you go first.
Okay. All right. Problems that I already had. There were 5 men with Uncle Jack.
Mm-hmm.
5. There were M16s. There were rifles. There were guns. There was everything you can imagine except the bazooka. Tank only has like a 9mm. And Gomi has a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Walt, which is the other person that could have helped in shooting these guys, was handcuffed in the truck in the SUV.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Pinkman, which is in the other car, and I don't think that Uncle Jack knows he's there,
okay,
is about to cry, can't believe this is happening, and you slightly see him reach for the dashboard.
I thought he was reaching to get out of the car.
Well, he would have reached to his right, but he was reaching towards the dashboard. So you can't open the door from the dashboard. So I'm thinking he's reaching for a gun that's inside the dashboard.
Ooh, interesting. I think, okay, we'll see next week, but I thought he was reaching to get out of the car.
Yeah, I saw the hand go in front of him towards the windshield.
Okay.
So that's why I was like, huh, okay, so he might be reaching for a gun. So I said, he might chip in and then shoot these guys. So while I'm looking at this, this went on for a while. The amount of bullets just thrown, somebody's knee should have at least popped. Somebody's knee. Can't have this many bullets flying through the air as if this was like the 1980s G.I. Joe cartoons,
okay,
right? And not have at least a bullet graze anybody. And what I didn't like was that Hank was getting closer to them.
Hmm.
So right when this is all happening, that's when I started saying, okay, this is getting a little ludicrous. Somebody needs to be getting shot right about now. No one's getting shot. And right when I started thinking that, cut.
Okay.
And it went to black. So I'm expecting for the next episode, and here is who I think is going to die.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Gomi.
Okay.
He's the one that's dispensable in the show. This is the guy that if he dies, we're not really going to care. If Jesse or the other guy, then it's like, oh my God, did you see what happened? Which could happen, but I don't want to see Hank die. I don't want to see Jesse die. I want Walt to kill Hank or Walt to kill Jesse. I want Walt to kill one of the lead protagonists. But I think the dispensable one that Uncle Jack could get rid of is Gomi. And maybe Todd suffers because Todd's the most innocent one, might get popped by Hank or Gomi as, you know, because you got to kill one of them in their crew. So I think 2 people die. It could be Todd and Gomi.
All right, you want my take?
I want your take on it now.
My take is that this whole show was a tribute and honor to Hank. We see Hank at the top of his game. We see him doing his thing. Hank is happy again. Marie is happy again. If we see Hank die in this episode, it's too sudden. It's too shocking. It blows up the internet. So what happens is they cut mid-gunfight. We have a week to think about, well, there's a good chance Hank is going to die. So it prepares the viewers for Hank's death. You just can't kill Hank off like that. So we have a week to prepare ourselves for the death of Hank Schrader. Gomi also dies. Jesse reaches, gets out of the car. He gets away.
But wait, how's he going to get away? He's in the middle of the desert.
There's a gunfight going on. He books.
Got it. So you're saying that no one catches him fleeing the scene?
Yes.
And he hides like behind a rock or something?
Yes. Like an armadillo.
Okay, so then we see Walter White's glasses fall off and a bunch of glass just fall on his head from the car.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of the bullets get him in your mind?
No. Walt has the upper hand. Well, he does not have the upper hand right now. Uncle Jack does. Uncle Jack needs Walt to cook. So,
but you know, a lot of the bullets were grazing, were completely piercing through the SUV.
Well, yeah, but we know Walt doesn't die.
No, but he could get hurt.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking that Walter White might get hurt in the process.
No.
Maybe bullet hit him in the elbow or the knee or something like that.
No, I think Walter White is alive. I don't think he gets hurt, and I think Uncle Jack realizes that he has leverage now on Walter White.
So you don't think anybody on his team dies?
You know, a couple of the guys that you don't know, there might be one or two casualties.
But no major character on the Uncle
no.
Jack's.
Uncle Jack, Todd, and his buddy, they walk away.
Wow, so you got Gomi and Hank dying.
Yes.
Man, so the next episode is Hank dying and then funerals, obviously, for Hank.
Yes.
And more memorialization on Hank.
And
I
don't think we see Hank dead. I think we see a funeral or something like that.
So a cut right to the funeral with
right.
his face and...
And at the beginning of the season, when I saw Uncle Jack in the swastika on his neck, I thought to myself, well, that has to be who the M16 is for that Walt gets at the beginning of season 5.
Oh.
He's just such a classic villain. So there's been some speculation on the internet. Some people said that Walt has to be on the run. He flees. He can't get chemo, so his hair grows back. And maybe Uncle Jack and his crew to get Walt back to Albuquerque takes his family hostage. Just a speculation there.
Well, it makes sense. If Hank dies next week, which is what you're thinking, I say Gomi dies. But if Hank dies, I might actually have to agree with you, because if Hank dies, then that means that the source of all this information of evidence piling up on Walter is now officially gone.
Mm-hmm.
The only person now knows is Gomi, but Gomi now has to die as well.
Gomi dies, and the thing is, Gomi and Hank.
What about Jesse? Jesse wants to get him, so is he not going to talk?
So here's the thing with Jesse: only Hank and Gomi struck a deal with Jesse. So now Jesse has no leverage. Once again, he's just a criminal on the run. He had a deal with the DEA. He has no deal anymore with Hank and Gomi gone. Another thing I thought about this scene is that Jesse will feel this burden of guilt because he basically coaxed Walt out into the desert. Walt thought he was going to have a face-off with Jesse, therefore he calls Uncle Jack. Walt never calls Uncle Jack if he knows Hank's going to be in the picture, so Jesse probably thinks to himself, oh no, it's my fault that Hank and Gomi are dead. I brought this on.
Huh. Oh man, and it adds just more to the depression and the guilt that Bickman has been going for over 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Which only extends like that brooding aspect that I so despise in this new Jesse that I do not like. I like the original version of Jesse. I thought he was the coolest. This guy, I just can't handle anymore. I can't handle him.
Yeah, he gets depressed a lot.
He gets it's just depressing to watch him. So hopefully something happens where he snaps out of it. You know.
And the sad thing about this episode is that Uncle Jack is obviously not as good as Gus or Walt. However, on this episode, despite the brilliance of Walt doing what he does so well and Hank doing what he does so well, in the end, it's kind of a poor plan. Walt just haphazardly drives out to the desert. He gives a confession to the DEA. He gets caught. And Hank brings no backup. I mean, if Heisenberg is the king drug pin, you think you'd have a whole team there. And then instead of going back into town, what does Hank do? He calls up his wife to gloat. If he didn't gloat, he gets in the car and he gets out.
That's right. That's right. And none of this would have happened. So the question now moving forward, Jim, is will the next episode of Breaking Bad be better than this past Sunday?
It can't. Can it?
It can't, right?
It can't.
I think it dips. We saw the best show of the season and perhaps, arguably, one of the best shows ever in Breaking Bad history.
You know what, though? I have faith in Vince Gilligan, and I think he will go out big with the final episode of Breaking Bad.
We got how many more episodes left? 2, 3?
3 more.
three more.
So we're going to go for a little dip. Roller coaster is going to go up, and then we're going to hit that hill in the final episode.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, man, for having me on the show and deconstructing what is one of the great iconic scenes in television history.
Yeah, and thank you for being on.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, because I know you got a lot of stuff going on, so thank you for carving out actually 50 minutes tonight for this.
This show was worth it. This episode was worth it, man, and you know it was.
Thank you, Jack.
All right, thanks a lot.
So for Jack Rico, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yinz later.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.